Good afternoon and welcome to our community forum. Good afternoon and welcome to Time Set Aside for You in the Media. We're here live at the Brigantine, as you can hear, we're here live at the Brigantine Restaurant in Del Mar, and it's right up the hill from the Del Mar Beach going towards Solana Beach. We're up here actually overlooking the racetrack at the corner of Via de Valle and Camino, the old 101, Camino Del Mar. And we're looking out, and we're going to have a lot of discussion about this today at the lagoon. And we're looking out at that lagoon because it's being restored, it's being enhanced. Heck, it's going to look better and do more than it's ever done in the living memory of people. The final vestiges of the old World War II airport have been removed. All kinds of other little lore that we're going to talk about today. Glenn Erath is with us to joining us now for the first time in many a moon. Glenn Erath's been a long time. It's nice to have you here.
Well, you know, you're in my neighborhood, of course. You can see my house from here, Roger. If you look out over there, I'm in the dumpster behind the Denny's over there.
Yeah, that's it. Glenn Erath, dumpster diving in only the best neighborhoods.
Only the best.
All right, don't find me
in East County dumpster diving. Glenn Erath, to East County.
That's enough, Glenn. So now we'll get back to Glenn in a moment. Today, of course, is November 13th. Can you believe it? There's only 48 days left in this year. 48 days left in this year. It's gone by pretty fast. This is the year, by the way, in which Benjamin Franklin wrote in a letter to a friend, quote, "In this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes." So we had that on this day in 1789. All right, and it's still true. We're going to talk a little bit today about a number of things, but I also wanted to get into some of the things that are going on in the news, and we'll continue to have that for you as well. But I did get this email, which I thought was the email of the day. Roger, I was feeling a bit depressed the other day, so I called the crisis hotline. I was put through to a call center in Pakistan. I explained I was feeling suicidal. They were very excited at this news and wanted to know if I could drive a truck or fly an airplane. Okay, we'll put that one aside. We'll have another, by the way, I want you to put this on the calendar. December 5, we'll be at the AMC Theater in Mission Valley, and that one is at 1640 Camino del Rio North, as I suspected. We're talking about the Mission Valley Center. AMC Theaters on December 5 at 7 p.m. for a showing of the movie Border. And if you have any interest at all in the immigration issue, this will give you the full story. The documentary is called Border. We will have, and you can go and find out all about it at bordermovie.com. Buy your tickets online, by the way. And then December 10th at 7 p.m., we'll be at the American Spirit Theater in Escondido at the Escondido Charter High School on East Valley Parkway. So I wanted to again remind you of that issue. And then, my friends, before we get started at Rockola, say they're doing another fire benefit for the fire victims at the Belly Up Tavern coming up on Monday, November 19th. Ruby's All-Star Musicians Fire Benefit at the Belly Up Tavern, and the Rockola will be there doing their thing. And I love Rockola, so at any chance you get to help the fire victims and to enjoy Rockola, Belly Up Tavern on Monday. Now, lots more in the news, but we'll can that for a moment and come back to the business at hand, which is the creation of the San Dieguito Lagoon Restoration Effort, and talk a little bit about how this came about. First of all, we have, I believe, in the audience Samir, and let's bring Samir up here because I want to talk to him. Samir Tenius, did I say that right?
Yes, correct.
Have a seat right there, Samir, and I want to talk to you a little bit about this. You're with Southern California Edison, right?
Yes, I have been with Southern California Edison for over 15 years now, and I have been on this project for about 15 years.
What is the connection between Southern California Edison and the restoration of our lagoon in San Dieguito in San Diego County?
The lagoon restoration is a mitigation for the impact of the San Onofre power plant,
Wait. Mm-hmm. The San Onofre power plant had an impact of generating electricity. I thought that was good.
That's a good thing, yes, that's true, but it also had some environmental impact.
It did, what?
Yes, well, impact.
It didn't have any CO2 coming out of it, it didn't impact global warming, it didn't do any, what?
That's true, it doesn't have any of those visual and known factors, but the cooling water that's taken from the ocean to cool out the turbines, this goes back a little bit warmer to the ocean, and then it affects some of the fish and larvae as well as for the reefs and others.
We have this phenomenon in the regular plant, you know, the natural gas plant in South Bay, where they take the San Diego Bay water and they cool the plant, and then they return the warmer water, as a result of which we have endangered turtles flourishing. We have certain kinds of sea bass and other fish that would not otherwise be in that bay. This is a benefit, isn't it?
It does sound like a benefit, yes, for sure. And, depends on how some people would look at it. But there is some entrainment of fish and larvae also in the cooling system, which get killed. And this is food for the fish, and this is where we're mitigating for.
All right. So the mitigation that you guys agreed to was pretty big, though, right? How much money are we talking about?
Well, the wetland it's costing Edison about $86 million.
And that is to say it's costing the Edison ratepayers.
It does cost the Edison ratepayer. That's correct.
Thankfully, that are not here in San Diego. So we get the benefit of the thing in San Diego, and we don't have to pay for it.
That's added value. I have to say, though, that some of the ratepayers are also in San Diego because SDG&E owns 20% of the power plant, and this is, you know.
So you passed along some of this to us, too, then?
Absolutely.
Okay, well, 20% we can handle. All right. So in any event, how much money, though, are you going to spend out here restoring this lagoon?
This lagoon is costing Edison, as I mentioned, $86 million. And this, because there is a lot of planning, there is a lot of studies and research before we start building the lagoon. It's a complex design, and it's created in an area where it's already urbanized, and therefore all the construction and the structure around it is not really built to the new standards that we are having right now.
Well, and if you drive, and many, many people do, obviously, every day, on Highway 5, I-5, either north or south, you go past this area, and if you're looking to the east, in other words, the opposite direction from the fairgrounds and the racetrack, you see all this earth moving going on. And the first time I heard about this, somebody sent me an email saying, they're paving over the lagoon. We've got to stop them. They're putting in shopping centers. They're doing all this stuff. And I said, no, I don't think so. I don't think that's it. But you've been at this for how many years now?
The design of it, of the project itself, it took almost 10 years to come up with a design that would fit the existing lagoon, to restore it and not impact the existing structure, to maintain the sediment transport to the beaches and to keep it in perpetuity.
Sam Martinez with us from Southern California Edison. Now, I just took a tour with Mike Furby from Marathon Construction that are building this thing for you. And I bounced around out there and looked at all this stuff. And I think you're doing more than restoration. I mean, I was a kid here, and it was still, you know, kind of a mud flat and a farm and tomatoes and all that stuff out there a long time ago.
Yes.
And the World War II airport out here where the freeway kind of bisected it. But all that stuff was out there. It wasn't really a lagoon, was it? I mean, it was a river.
Well, yes, it's a river, but before all the urbanization of the area, this was open to the ocean, and there was kind of a big lagoon in this area. There was exchange with the ocean when the tide goes up, and there was...
But even all the way back there on the east side of the freeway?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Okay,
before the airfield, yes.
So you've surveyed this, and you see that this was actually a filled-in area that was wetland.
That was wetland. Ah. Originally, it was a big wetland.
Yeah.
And then, of course, with the airfield coming in, and then the freeway, and the of course, the racetrack, all of these things have choked the inlet, and therefore prevented the exchange of water to the lagoon.
So in addition to the work being done east of I-5, you're also dredging out to make sure that this inlet that does exist coming off the Del Mar Beach will continue to have salt water come up and replenish these areas, right?
Absolutely. This is correct. And the difference is that we have to keep this inlet now open in perpetuity, so we'll have to go and do some kind of opening on a yearly basis. It's a minor opening.
So the maintenance.
Yeah. In order to maintain this flushing to go in and out.
Now, after you spend $88 million and you go through all this, what is it going to look like? Why? I mean, what is going to result?
The result is a big environmental benefit to everyone around here. First of all, this is an area where it's going to create a big blue belt, if may call it. Separating between the North County and San Diego, benefiting all the people, as well as...
It's a moat, in other words. Are we keeping people, in other words, from invading those people down in South County?
No.
Okay, I understand. So it's a blue... So because of the water, you're saying?
Because of the water that's coming here.
Yeah.
And also because of that, it's going to create a lot of environmental environmental benefit to the area. A lot of birds would be flying over and nesting on these sites. A lot of endangered species, as well as the normal birds that goes to all the other lagoons, will be able to come in here, and everybody will be able to enjoy that, as well as a trail that goes around it, and the public would be able to go and see.
I got to tell you, bouncing around out there, I was looking out at the ponds that have already been created, and there were fish jumping.
That is true.
I was ready with my fly. You know, I was going to go out there and give them a little. Can I fish in these things or no? Huh?
Well, right now you can go fish, but after we're done.
When you guys are done, that's it.
That's it.
The fish have more rights than we do. Okay, well, that sounds familiar. All right, now stand by. Samir Tani is with us from Southern California Edison, and it's a really important story. We're going to hear from another Southern California Edison fellow, David Kay, and Dick Boberts is with us as well from the Joint Powers Authority. Actually, this $88 million is part of a much larger dream, and I want to talk about that as well.
The Roger Hedgecock Show.
AM 600, Coco.
All right, welcome back to our community forum live here in Del Mar at the Brigantine Restaurant, and we're looking out over the lagoon here at San Diego on a beautiful day here. It's about 75 degrees. It couldn't be any nicer. David Kay is also with Southern California Edison with responsibility for this project, I guess. Is that right?
That's right, Roger.
But you're looking at some other stuff. I mean, Southern California Edison really had to do some mitigation, as they say, with regard to the getting their final permit to run the This was years ago, too, when they got this permit to run the other units at San Onofre, right?
Well, as Samir explained, this is partial mitigation for the operation of the power plant. The other big element of that program is an artificial reef we'll be constructing offshore near San Clemente. And Samir mentioned the cost of this project, and it seems like a pretty big number. Well, it is a big number. But it's actually a better deal for the electric customers than the alternative, which would have been to backfit the San Onofre power plant with cooling towers. This project, along with the reef and other work we have done, probably will total the ratepayers on the order of $150 million.
Hmm.
And they might have looked at $350 million to $500 million for cooling towers.
Not only that, but have those ugly towers
right on
the coast.
So these projects will compensate for those impacts to the marine environment. And then there are the additional benefits of a beautiful park at the end of the river valley with birds and vegetation and trails that really have nothing to do with the operation of the plant, but which will be there for beneficial use for years to come.
No question. I mean, I took this tour, and already, I mean, even it's obviously not done yet, but already it just has a magnificent feel to it. You can just see when all the vegetation comes in and the birds and stuff, that hiking out there and looking at all that is just going to be a great treat. All right, well, David, thank you. Go ahead.
If I could just make a plug quickly, Roger, for the community meeting tomorrow night at the Del Mar Powerhouse from 6 to 8 p.m., anyone interested in the project and how it's progressing, please come and visit us there.
All right. Very good. Dick Boberts is with us. There is a joint powers authority for something called the San Diego River Park, of which this San Diego Lagoon restoration is a part. Right, Dick?
That's correct.
This is a larger vision, though.
This is part of a very large vision. In fact, it's a vision that's hard to wrap your mind around it because our objective is to actually preserve the habitat and install trails all the way from the ocean here at Del Mar all the way to Vulcan Mountain. That's a distance of about 55 miles.
Vulcan Mountain is next to Julian.
Beg your pardon?
Isn't it next to Julian?
That's
Vulcan
correct.
Mountain?
Just north of Julian.
Yeah.
Right? So, you know, if you can imagine, this is about a 700-acre project here. We have about 700 acres we're going to restore back to a functioning lagoon. The entire river park is about 80,000 acres.
Wow.
Now, so this is a relatively, you know, small part of the river park, but it's an extremely large and important part of the river park, given that it's the interface with the ocean, and it happens to be probably the most productive habitat in the world. A estuary-fed lagoon, tidally flushed lagoon, is actually more productive than a tropical rainforest.
And when you talk about productive, you're talking about the animals that will be hatched here, so to speak.
Pardon me, it's from my perspective as a conservationist.
Yeah.
Exactly. Think back. You know, why is this being done? Why is Southern California Edison doing it? Well, it's because they're replacing the fish that are not getting through the cooling system up at San Onofre. Basically, a tidally flushed lagoon like this is a fish factory. So all the different species of fish are going to be promoted because this is where the juvenile fish grow up in the estuary system. And then they go out to the ocean, you know, once they're big enough to protect themselves. So it's got economic impacts beyond the conservation impacts, or benefits, I should say, because it helps the fishing industry, because, you know, you've got halibut out there, you've got, you know, all sorts of fish.
Sea bass, all kinds of them, yeah.
That are part of that.
Now, you've also got a bird implication here, broadly speaking. There's the Pacific Flyway, there's the birds that are around here, the least terns, of course, are protected. You've got all that in here.
Yeah, and I'm not a biologist, so I can't cite each of the species, but there's more than a dozen endangered or protected species out here that depend on this very, very hard to produce habitat. Throughout California, 95% of this type of habitat has been lost over the years. So every acre that we can put back into the system is a really big deal from a conservation point of view.
That's really interesting, because you've got the least terns here. We have least terns by Lindbergh Field. Now, they're deaf, of course, because of the planes and stuff. But then there's least terns down in Tijuana estuary. We've been trying this business of least terns. Now, of course, the least tern, they will nest wherever they want to, like most animals, right? I mean, when you put out a big sandy, I saw the big sandy area is going to be the least tern area. How do you know they're going to nest there?
Well, we depend on the biologists and the scientists. Because they've been studying these things for a long time, and they have very specific specifications for creating these sites. The sand has to be just right. The elevation has to be just right. And basically, we're trying to duplicate nature. Now, we know very well that, you know, that the human race is not that great at duplicating nature. But as far as we're able to do it, that's what we're doing.
So you're really enhancing the environment. You're making the environment better here.
Well, we're restoring the environment.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
From what it was.
To what it was, yes. That's the objective. How well we do is really kind of a great experiment. And, you know, Southern California Edison is going to have to maintain this project for 40 years. We didn't go over that. That's an interesting part of this. All along that time, you know, it's going to be a feedback loop to see what's working and what's not working.
Yeah.
And we'll learn as we go, and by the time that time period is over, I think we'll have it right.
Well, that's great. Well, Dick Vorwärts, thanks very much, and best of luck to you with the rest of that park. We're going to take a short break for news and come back. We're going to meet the people who are actually working on this. And Glenn Ehrath's going to play a little music when we come back. I'm Roger Hedgecock. We're live at the Brigantine in Del Mar, back after this. Welcome back to our community forum. We are live today at the Brigantine Restaurant in Del Mar, and we are talking about this project, the San Dieguito Lagoon Restoration. And I tell you what, I'm sorry, you're all going to have to come on down here, because the Brigantine Restaurant just laid out enough food for about 300 people. So come on down, because if some of these people eat all the food, I think it's going to be a mistake. So if you just I am looking at Jack. So if you would come on down and join us here. This is at the corner of Via de la Valle and Old 101 Camino del Mar. And just come on down, Brigantine Restaurant. Jimmy Valentine, of course, my producer, is here. He lives in the backcountry and is having some cultural adaptation problems, because he just said to me that he stepped outside to smoke a cigarette, which, first of all, you know he doesn't come from Del Mar right away. Anyway, he stepped outside to smoke a cigarette, and he said there were semi-naked people with wood under their arms. He says, what's that? So anyway, we'll have to explain that to him a little bit later on. 1-800-600-KOGO, 569-TALK, 569-8255. I want to take a call first, and then Glenn Ehrath. Frankie in L.A., you're next. Frankie, welcome to Cogo.
Hey, well, thank you, Roger. Love those Crown City shrimp they serve there.
You bet. And they're doing it today, too.
Used to night surf off the entry to the estuary there back in the 40s.
Oh, yeah.
Got a question for you. I live up in the Los Angeles area now because of 125 took our house. How are they going to keep the homeless out of there once they get this beautiful park built? Because we have a hell of a time with the homeless living in the L.A. River.
You know, it's a very good question. You got homeless, you got the illegals, got all kinds of problems. I don't know. Where's Mr. Bobertz? Is he around still, Dick Bobertz? I know he thought he was done, but Dick is over there eating. Here, let's get a microphone. How are you going to keep the homeless and the illegals and everybody else out of camping out in this thing?
Yeah, we've had to deal with that over the last few years. And basically, the procedure is not to let it get started. And the high visibility, you know, eyes on the river park. And when we put in our series of trails, we're going to increase the eyes in the river park. And so we're going to be able to spot these things quicker and nip them in the bud before they develop into, you know, large communities. Also, there's going to be less area to shelter things like that. I mean, basically, all there's going to be is underneath the bridge.
Yeah.
And the rest of it's going to be fairly...
Well, underneath the bridge is an art gallery, you know.
I've seen that, yes.
Of illegals and paintings and graffiti and all the rest of it. What are you going to do about that?
We're going to evaluate it because if you've seen that, some of that stuff is fairly interesting. But, you know, we got to take a look at it and, you know, take out what shouldn't be there.
All of it is illegal.
Certainly.
Defacing the state property.
Certainly.
I mean, you know, it's either going to be one way or the other, because if you don't get rid of it now, the whole thing becomes a mural for people who...
We'll work with Caltrans
to
make sure what needs to be done is done.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Dick. So there's the answer to the question, Frankie. I appreciate the call. Glenn Erath is here after a long absence.
Speaking of homeless, it's great to be here.
It's nice of you to stop by. And I know you were dumpster diving outside, and I dragged you in here with your guitar. And...
Yeah, you know, it's great to be back here. I just spent a long time. I kind of lost the address, and here I am up at the Brigantine in Del Mar, and I am excited because I've been assigned by Southern Cal Edison to attract birds, and that's why I'm wearing short pants. I'm out in the lagoon right now doing some bird mating calls.
Are you?
Yeah.
Bird mating calls?
Yeah, you want to hear some?
Yeah, let's hear some.
Well, let's see. This would be the Lise Bell Vireo mating call. Let's do it!
That's it, huh?
Yeah, it doesn't work too well.
I didn't know they were English-speaking, first of all.
Well, yeah, they are, except for the ones that come from other places.
Well, there you go. We have some illegal Lise Bell Vireos.
Right, and then there's the horned grebe mating call. The horned grebe. I'm sure you're familiar with that bird.
All right.
Much more subtle. How'd you like dinner in a movie? And that doesn't work too well either. But then there's the marbled godwit, which we're all familiar with. The marbled godwit.
Yeah.
And this doesn't involve a word at all. It's just like this. And that'll get them going, I'm telling you.
Really?
Real quickly. And it's related to the garbled nitwit, by the way, and the gnatcatcher, which is related to the nutscratcher, which is a whole other thing, too. But anyway, I've got a song. This is a mating call song for the birds. I've got a horned grebe inside my pants. It flaps its wings, and I need to dance. Must find it a home. I can't leave it to chance. A condo with central air. That would be a condorminium. Ha, ha. Oh, then there's something called an American widgeon. That's what you get when you cross a bald eagle and a pigeon. So many birds and so little time, and I'm getting hungry now. We're not supposed to eat these birds, are we?
I don't think so, no.
I've got a nice fishing pole, but I don't think that's going to... I'm making new habitats for all these birds, like the whimbrel and Lee Sandpiper. The great blue heron left a present for me. I'm glad I have windshield wipers. Double-breasted cormorant, my type of bird. They're mostly spotted at Hooters, I heard. A bird called a killdeer must be a big bird, and that would make me quite scared to see a deer carcass flying through the air. Because it's a killdeer. Now, this is one song. Now, remember, there's no cover charge here if you're not enjoying this. And the thing that also happens is we build in this show. We start with the B material, and we work up to the A.
You have to stay with us, yeah.
String people along.
Yeah, you have to stay with us.
You have to stay with this show for at least a few days to get it.
Yeah. Thank you, Glenn. Glenn Erath, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. All right. I'm going to get to Marathon Construction actually doing the work out here. We're going to get to them in just a minute. Here's Bob in Carlsbad in the meantime on the show. Bob, welcome. Hello, Bob. No, Bob is gone. Oh, I'm sorry. All right, let's go to Mike Furby is here from Marathon Construction, Joe Ellis and John Ruth and a lot of other people that have been here and doing the work. And Mike gave me the tour. We bounced around out there in the construction area, and you've been moving a lot of earth, haven't you?
Yeah, about 1.3 million cubic yards so far, Roger.
That's a lot, huh?
It's a lot of dirt.
And you're pushing it around, and basically describe what you're creating out here. What is this?
We're creating 150 acres of tidal wetland habitat, and we're constructing several upland disposal areas as well that will be vegetated with coastal scrub, so we'll have a mixed habitat out here.
For the different kinds of animals?
Different kinds of animals.
In other words, you're creating basically an animal La Costa resort, aren't you?
Exactly.
I mean, that's what this is.
Bird condominiums.
This is bird condominiums. This is a resort. This is North County living for the for the habitat. I mean, it's plush. It's upper class. That's it. No, don't say that. This is a family show, Glenn. I've been trying to tell you. You're not on the FMs anymore, okay? Anyway. All right, now, Mike, you're going to be at this for how long, do you think?
We should be done with the majority of the earthwork probably by summer of next year. We'll stand by for about 6 months and do some tidal flushing and come back and plant the area next winter and hopefully be done in March of 2009.
Now, before that, if we happen to get any big rains without a lot of vegetation out there, we could have some flooding problems or no?
I don't believe so. I think we have the work areas pretty well insulated with our stormwater pollution prevention best management practices. So we're pretty insulated with our runoff and that sort of thing.
Now, you guys are out here moving this dirt around. You obviously unearthed a lot of stuff. What's out there that was interesting that you found?
Well, we found... Actually, on the west side, we were excavating through what was the old Navy airfield that was built back in the late 1930s. And so we found a lot of remnants of that, as you saw today. Old sewer lines and that sort of thing. But for the most part, it's gone pretty smooth. We've had 2 years of drought, and so the groundwater's way down, and we haven't had much problem with the excavation. So our project's going about 25% faster than we thought it would.
Oh, that's good. So the drought is beneficial to you.
Absolutely.
That's what I keep trying to tell people on the air. You know, every time there's a problem, that might be a problem for some people, but it's a benefit to other people. So the problem is the drought, but the benefit is you're doing this. Because one of your ponds out there actually was seepage from groundwater, which looked like it was, 4 or 5 feet below the surface?
That's correct. We have groundwater down at about a minus one elevation, plus zero, something like that. But
yeah.
Anyways, for the most part, it's pretty far down, so we don't have much problem with the groundwater.
Now, this is a little unusual to have a construction company that, you know, obviously in the past they would build highways and freeways and fences and office buildings and whatever, for the human habitat. You're building, you know, basically La Casa Resort for the birds and fish and the other animals that are going to be in this thing. Is this something new for your company, or is this almost starting to look like a specialty?
No, we've actually done about 15 of these projects. Just recently completed one down in Goat Canyon at the Tijuana River bottom, and so that's just west of Smuggler's Gulch.
Yeah,
we did that for the state of California. But yeah, we're well versed on doing these wetland mitigation and restoration projects, and we're very fortunate to have had Southern California Edison pick us as the contractor. $86 million goes a long way to local contractors, and that's who we've hired on this project. And it's really had a great impact on the economy here.
How many jobs are out there altogether?
We have 30 people working on our payroll, but we have probably close to 27 consultants and sub-consultants that we've hired, as well as our four staff members that work for Marathon there. So, and of course, Edison has their big, huge crew too. So, again, we're very fortunate to have Edison spend this money on this project and feel fortunate this project's happening in San Diego.
Well, it's great because I think this area – now, who owned the land before Edison got involved in this thing? Because there's a lot of land out there.
There were multiple owners. Edison could probably answer that question better than I can. But
there were a number of them.
They had some private property they acquired for the park on the east side of the freeway up on the north end by Via de la Valle. That was purchased by Edison. But the ownership of the property is basically the city of San Diego, the San Diego River Park Joint Powers Authority, and Southern California Edison.
Okay. And some of the agricultural, historically, there's agriculture in this area, right?
That's correct. A lot of tomato fields.
And is that going to continue, or is that out of there now?
There is some private property on the east side over by El Camino Real and the old Boudreaux property, which is over by Horse Park. But that will remain as tomato fields.
Because you get a little problem, I don't know, is there going to be any problem with the water coming down out of there, fertilizers and pesticides and all that kind of stuff? Maybe somebody else can answer that question.
That would probably be a better question for the coastal engineer on the project.
All right, so what else do we need to know about this project as people are getting a grasp of the this thing is huge.
Yeah, it's a 440-acre project. It's obviously a mitigation project for the San Onofre Nuclear Power Generating Station. And the project will be a park in perpetuity. It's free, basically, to all the taxpayers in San Diego. So we got a big bang for our buck here, and for Edison's buck, anyways. And we're the beneficiary of the project.
Now, as you dredge, and you're going to do a lot of dredging in these existing lagoons people see around the racetrack, you're going to be dredging that, right?
That's correct.
The sand goes out in the Del Mar Beach?
That's correct. There's about 80,000 cubic yards of sand that we're going to excavate in the the river inlet from the mouth all the way up to the old Grand Avenue Bridge.
Wow. So that's going to be quite a lot of sand all of a sudden on the beach. Del Mar's got to be happy.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's a great thing and that's the whole idea and the design behind the lagoon is to deliver more sand down to the beaches, to keep the inlet clean, to keep the lagoon healthy, and keep the water transfer at the right pace. So
Mike Furby with us from Marathon Construction, and we'll be talking more about the details of the construction project with some of your folks. I want to get into some of the business about what animals we're talking about later in the program, and some of the local politicos, the mayors of the cities around here, Solana Beach and of course, Del Mar and San Diego, and Encinitas will be visiting with us as well. Welcome back. We're live at the Brigantine here in Del Mar, and free food for all, ladies and gentlemen. Come on by and enjoy. A lot of fun, a lot of stuff. This is a great restaurant, and they've laid out a nice spread for everybody today. We're, of course, celebrating a little bit the ongoing progress of the creation of this San Diego Lagoon restoration, in which, you know, a lot of public land is going to be restored, a lot of blue, a lot of birds, a lot of fish. It's going to be really just flat, nothing out there before. These guys have actually been doing the work. John is with us. John, how are you?
Good, thanks.
John Ruth, what do you do?
I'm the field engineer on the project.
Ah, so you got to make sure all the levels are like where they should be, right? According to that plan?
We use a GPS system to do that.
You do?
Yeah.
So in other words, a satellite is telling you where the bottom, say, of the ponds are and where the tops of the dikes are and all that stuff?
Yeah, we have a computer model of the project given to us by the engineer. That we then import it into our GPS system, and the satellite control tells us where we're at anywhere on the job. So we have a field surveyor that has their own system, and we also have a satellite controlled dozer that travels. I think you saw that today. That travels around the job.
I saw this thing—a very odd kind of looking piece of equipment, but it actually gets down in the water and does this stuff, right?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Who runs that thing?
Paul Skeen, right up here.
Where's Paul?
Right here.
Paul, how are you?
Hey, Roger, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I saw your piece of equipment out there. Tell me about that thing.
No, it works good. Really nice system.
How does it work?
Works great.
How does it work?
How? It just receives a signal from the satellite and just lets you know where you are. It shows all your contours on the screen. You got like a little touchscreen monitor, and it'll tell you where you are, elevation, your cuts, your fills.
So you're going along down there in the marshy areas trying to figure out, you know, the bottom, right, of these things. That's what you're doing. You're pushing earth around.
Yeah.
But you can't push too much earth around. You've got to make it to the exact place.
Correct. Yeah, we got a tolerance of 2/10. You know, we got to hit that.
2/10 of an inch?
Yep.
Wow.
And then a lot of times you're just trying to find the bottom that's solid enough to get you through it.
Yeah.
Because it is a wetland project.
Yeah, and you're out there in the muck with this thing.
Yeah.
But it has special treads, right? Is that how that
works?
Yeah,
they're wide track, about 36 inches in width. Kind of let you float across the real wet stuff.
Uh-huh. But you got
not always, though. We get stuck quite often.
I was going to ask you. I mean, I'm sure that thing gets it. It's got a big bulldozer face out there in front of it, right?
Yeah.
Pushing stuff around. How many hours a day do you spend sitting in that thing doing that?
They let me work 8.
That's it. You're done at 8.
I want about 11 a day, but we get 8.
That's a very interesting piece of equipment. It really is. All right, now let me go down here to Jim Ellis. Jim, what do you do for this? Joe Ellis, rather. What do you do, Joe, for this Marathon Construction?
Yeah, I'm the project superintendent on the job. Basically, my job is to figure out the cheapest way to move the dirt from point A to point B.
You've got stacks of topsoil, stacks of other kinds of dirt, some sand over here. I mean, you're moving stuff all around to try to ultimately, it's like a big Rubik's Cube, it finally ends up being where it should be.
Right, 10-4, yeah. That's the kind of thing. We've got to kind of orchestrate moving the dirt from one pile to another pile and making sure we put the right material and the right thickness on each wetland module.
How are we doing so far?
So far, so good.
That's what you're telling Edison anyway.
Yeah,
it's all going great, right?
Yeah, that's what I tell my boss, too.
That's right. Just tell everybody everything's cool. Yeah, we're fine, right?
Yeah.
All right, Joe, thank you. Right. Appreciate you guys being here. Appreciate everybody from Marathon who's got a chance to get a part of this. Let's have a round of applause for Marathon. We're going to take a break. I'm Roger Hedgecock, live at the Brigantine. Back after this.